Hi there. Welcome to the Spring of Life show. My name is Jasmine, and I'm here with my co-host, Benjamin. And our goal for the next 55 minutes that we share together is to empower you with a deep feeling of personal freedom and choice so that you really fully step into the understanding that you are the creator of your own perspective and thusly the creator of your own world. Isn't that magically empowering? Hey, Benjamin, how are you this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful, Jasmine. How are you?
I'm super fine. It's really great to be on the air with you. And I'm pumped that this is our very first show ever. I'm nervous and excited and eager and enthusiastic. Oh, and a little hot right now, actually. I'm feeling the heat through my body of being so excited about this new experience.
How lovely is that? I can't wait to just keep exploring throughout this hour with you.
How much fun. So for all you listeners out there and the world at large and humanity, this is a 55-minute show, which is kind of a magical number. I really like that, indicating change and wondrous new beginnings and shifts and transitions, just like our world is in right now in our state of consciousness. So essentially, for the first half of it, we'll be sharing with you and we're eager to speak with you and open up the phone lines for any participation or questions or anything you'd like to offer. And if you feel a burning calling within your heart and your soul and your spirit to just connect with us at any time during our time together, please call in and I'm sure you'll be directed through to our show in the most divine of ways. So, Ben, I'd really love to... Happy New Year to you, Ben, by the way. I hope you had an epic new beginning to this 2014 calendar year.
It was just lovely, just setting off those fireworks in Germany, and a Happy New Year to all our listeners. How wonderful to have you here on the show with us.
I really enjoyed New Year's too. And that's an interesting word. I'd really like to delete that one from my vocabulary, although it does seem to be a nice bridge. And interestingly enough, I'd really like to talk about bridging the gap, about how it is that our intention and creates our reality, and how, in fact, we can influence matter in our world. I find that very fascinating, and I've been playing with that in my own life for a long time. And recently, actually, Ben, I know that you shared with me a video that Greg Braden was speaking on about an international Middle East peace project. I was wondering if you would recap that a little bit for myself and our listeners, because I feel it really succinctly... I put things into perspective for me.
Yes, absolutely. It's called the International Peace Project in the Middle East. And this was a study that was conducted through the Department of Psychology at the Maharashi International University, or in part thereof. It was David Orm Johnson. And what they did was take this transcendental meditation. And for this, they positioned several different people throughout the Middle East in strategic positions. And as, for example, in Jerusalem, through particular meditation times or prayer times, they then had to feel peace in their bodies. And beyond that, they then looked at how this would affect the crime or stock markets or news, and also the deaths or other factors such as terrorism and so on. And during the specific times that these people were feeling the peace, and I want to highlight here that it's not just thinking about peace, it's really creating a state of peace within their bodies and maintaining this peace for a prolonged period of time. And for as long as they were creating this peace within themselves, it actually had substantial effects on the stock markets, for example. They skyrocketed. Terrorism just dropped down almost to zero. things such as accidents and crime just rapidly decreased. And these were definitely statistically significant results. And beyond that, well, some people said, well, it could have just been the specific time. Maybe it was something like the moon or just a random odd time on the clock that was cause for this. So they kept using different times throughout the month and so on to make sure that this was a persistent finding. And guess what? It was. Clearly showing that a number of people doing this type of meditation or generally just holding a particular vibration of feeling within their bodies were able to affect the way their environment responded to them. And this was not the only study that was conducted like this. There were 24 other occurrences or studies completed in the US with the same result, clearly showing that people have a great impact on their environment. And quite interesting of numerical value that they were able to calculate with this was that it only takes about the root of 1% of the population to influence these the population at large to a great extent. Meaning that if we had about 1 million people, it would take only about 100 people to hold this particular frequency of feeling within themselves. Or if we are talking about 6 billion people, it would roughly take only 8,400 individuals to be holding this state within themselves.
Wow. So I loved that. And thank you for sharing that again. And for me, you know, in doing this work, we'll call it work, because it can be challenging to awaken and arise into the self and align the heart and the mind and the outer influences versus, and I will say versus, the inner guidance and intuitiveness that we know. I've often felt overwhelmed and, you know, often have looked at newspapers or at people around me and the way they're responding to themselves, their each other, their families, the environment, etc. And I've often felt that perhaps I was in a state of powerlessness or helplessness around it because it felt so big. And when I heard these numbers, and you shared this with me and we've spoken of it, and when I recognized that, you know, currently if give or take a nickel, the world population is roughly at 7 billion, then, you know, the square root of 1% of that is, as you shared, about 8,400 people. And that seems manageable. That's to create and influence significantly a shift in the outer circumstance, to hold a vibration within our bodies from a feeling state. For me, that feels easy. It feels elegant and very doable. And then I start to look at that in real world numbers. And I have contacts on Facebook that have 8,000 or 10,000 people on their friends lists, which I find funny. They're more like contact lists, but nevertheless, I think that's astounding. So what we could produce, how we could influence the outer world simply by connecting with one another and speaking with one another and choosing to align with our hearts and a feeling that that could actually change this planet. It can heal things. It can shift things. It can assist with weather patterns and radiation spills and, oh, perhaps even shift the way our energy is being produced and the way our food is being produced and the way we look at each other and interact with each other. That, to me, Ben, feels very possible. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I can very well understand that. And what's really nice to know is that in our smaller communities, such as our families or our, if we're living in a smaller hamlet, maybe it takes just us to really start shifting our inner position. And once we start doing this on a more continuous basis, we're going to start moving up that frequency ladder. And bit by bit by bit by bit, not only are we shifting our inner world, but our outer world is going to start responding instantly. What was fascinating about these studies too, just for the scientists that may be listening, is that these were all studies that were completed with double-blind procedures, ensuring that no matter when it was conducted, it was actually a valid result. As well as something fascinating on top of all of this is that when the people that were meditating stopped meditating, the effects reversed again. So as soon as that vibration of peace wasn't held anymore, everything such as accidents or the effects in stock markets and so on were reversed. They went back to their original state again. Meaning that there is quite an importance also in harnessing and developing a constant inner state that continues to develop itself and move into a direction of joy. But what the best part is about all of this is when we learn to actually create such a state from the inside out, we feel just great. First and foremost, we get to feel whatever it is that we want to create in our outer environment. And it also gives us much more control to start influencing our outer world rather than through just pure action and strife and struggle. We can start to actually go inside, maybe even just relax, let go of the pressure for a little while, and guess what? The outer world responds. And how beautiful is that? Doesn't that make things just a whole lot easier rather than just having to change or potentially even manipulate people into things that we believe is better for them and us? It's much easier if we can just find that place within ourselves and have the outer world respond accordingly.
I agree, and that has been my experience. You know, I'd like to speak a little further too. You know, in case there's people out there, I know for me it was a new concept at some point, and I enjoy approaching things from beginner's mind and beginner's awareness and bringing that into my body. Let's talk about vibration and frequency. We've used that word several times, and of course we do in our dialogues and our work, and we're quite familiar with it and continue to evolve with that. And I'd like to share with people what that is, what we're referring to. From my perspective and my worldview and experience, what I've come to understand through playing with it with in the laboratory of my life and my world and through my body is that we are, first and foremost, vibrational beings and electromagnetic beings. And our hearts and our bodies give off electromagnetic frequencies, and they actually are picked up in and received and transmitted by other hearts and bodies. And the entire universe is also working on an electromagnetic pulse. And our bodies are held together through a state of vibration. And even beyond that, one could say sound. And I find that interesting because so often in my studies, I've come across many teachings and worked for a long time on my thoughts and the ego, and which I personally think the ego is often given a very bad rap because it is a required tool in this third dimensional reality. And perhaps that's a discussion for later or another day. I think a show on ego would be wonderful. But nevertheless, speaking to vibration, the nice thing about recognizing and playing with the concept and the idea of vibration is that it boils down very easily to being indicated and understood through the body as emotion. So in a nutshell, to be very simple, the emotions that could be uncomfortable in the body, like suffering or jealousy or grief or anger or fear, can be considered to be vibrating at perhaps a lower frequency. I prefer that it's vibrating at a slower frequency. And in order to speed up, we can start noticing emotions in our body like neutrality to begin, love, joy, empowerment, clarity, enthusiasm, and eagerness. And I found that paying attention to my emotions in my world yields incredible perspective shifts in the way I can view, I don't know, a sink full of dishes from a place of, oh, overwhelm and begrudging and resentment. I have to do this again. The pile seems bigger, the dishes seem dirtier, and it seems almost impossible to get through it. And then I drop something or break a glass, which can only add to that frustration until levels are so high, I talk myself into believing that doing dishes is a very bad thing. Then I have a belief from that place. Whereas approaching it from a place of, oh, what a great opportunity. I can do a sink full of dishes. It's kind of like taking a bubble bath, isn't it, really, with our hands? And reframing that and having fun with it and feeling good about it and grateful that I have these dishes and knowing that this is really great. I can get through this and enjoy it and have a clean, shiny sink and get on with my day. And then the next time I reach for my favorite coffee mug, there it is, nice and clean. It makes a huge difference. And of course, things then from that place seem to move along very quickly. And it tends to build on itself, that vibration. And I offer to everyone who's listening and to the grid itself that as we begin to tune into ourselves, if we can just begin slowly to bridge the gap between our mental chatter, which creates these emotional feelings, and begin to slowly notice where we're at emotionally, that we can start talking ourselves into, quite literally, we talk ourselves into a better space or out of a more compressed space into a more expanded life perspective. And that's where the magic is. That's where the resourceful states are born. That's where the solutions to these challenges, where new technologies are born, where the creation flows. What do you think about that, Ben?
Well, I totally agree with that. In a certain sense, it's important to note, for example, we can go to very small scales or really, really large scales. If, for example, we want to look at the really, really small scales, it's quite easy to recognize that those electrons zooming around those atoms are certainly vibrating. They're constantly just in a flux of moving back and forth, and that could be considered frequency and vibration. But at the same time, if we look at really, really large scales, we've got our planets zooming around the sun at certain frequencies as well. Same is true for the planet itself, the Earth that we're currently on. It has also its own vibrancy, its own frequency, which is called the Schumann cavity frequency, which has been at about 7.8 hertz most recently. However, this particular frequency also has been increasing. It's been speeding up. That's also part of the reason why our perception of time has been increasing. It's almost like time is speeding up. However, what I wanted to add to what you were telling me about, or all the entire audience about emotion, is that there is different frequencies to it. And that is quite correct. Most recently, actually, it's been found that each emotion has its own chemical composition. And with every single thought that we think, if we believe there is some truth to it, it actually creates some type of emotional reaction, whether that is a reaction that feels pleasant or unpleasant to us. And the emotional sense in that way is almost like the sense of sight or sound, where it's very easy to recognize either it gets brighter or it gets darker. And the same way, it could be recognized that a feeling of joy, for example, is a very bright feeling, whereas a feeling of depression is a very dark feeling. And you could even say the same for sound. There's sounds that sound very bright and some that sound very dark to us. And funnily enough, with each thought that we think that we feel has some truth value, or even if there's no truth value, we can still feel certain types of emotions about it, then it actually creates a chemical composition within our body that it becomes either life-affirming or life-denying. And with that, we actually feel more vibrancy in our bodies when we feel more of the acceptance, peace, and joy, as opposed to pride, rage, or depression. Those definitely feel like they're more life-denying emotions. And with that, when we become aware of the thoughts that we think and how our emotions are responding to that, we can start to actually develop this sense of which direction we're going with our thoughts. A lot of people used to think that outer circumstances were what determined the way that someone felt, or they themselves felt. So if only I had a car, then I could feel well. But there is a shift happening most recently where it is more of an inside-out approach. And this is often what the sages and religions back in the day tried to talk about, that it's really much more of an inside-out job rather than an outside-in job. And when we come to the place where we're willing to not only listen to our own thoughts, but to actually take some responsibility for that, for them, some ability to respond depending on how we think or how we feel, then all of a sudden we reach the point where we actually do become the creators not only of our inner worlds, but also of our outer worlds. And with that, we have a great capacity to start shaping our reality and our perception of reality in such powerful ways that there is nothing in the way of creating anything that we desire.
Well spoken. Bravo. I give you a standing ovation. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Are you taking a bow, my friend? I love it. I agree. And you know what I love is that I love the, what you pointed to about there's a way in which many of us, and I did it for so long and sometimes still do, and I love that. I love those hiccup moments. They're such great clarifying. They're fuel, they're manure for the garden of myself and growing, you know. And I always say out of every manure pile, there's a daisy growing somewhere, if not a bunch of wildflowers. You may just have to walk around it a few times to find it. But nevertheless, what I wanted to point at was that so many of us can so easily look at our outer circumstances and say, oh my, as you said, if only that would change. If only they would stop that or begin that or appreciate me or the department of they. Look what they're doing to the planet. Look at what they've done. Look at those politicians. How come my mother can't? Why can't my partner do this? How come my lover is that? If only, if only, if only. It's like a lullaby we sing to ourselves that unfortunately does not lull us to sleep. If anything, it creates more angst and anxiety and powerlessness. What I'm enjoying playing with in my world, and I've been practicing, and I'm getting very masterful at it, I'm happy to say, is that I know that there is no circumstance on the outside of me that has any influence on my inner world. And as a matter of fact, to go beyond that, I recognize that anything that's going on outside of me has been created through my vibrational magnetic resonance as a transmitter and a receiver of where I'm at emotionally, where the tuning fork of Jasmine is presently aimed. So if I'm around a bunch of happy, smiling people and the traffic is flowing wonderfully and my coffee is served to me just perfectly and they offer me an extra little cookie on the side just because I'm such a happy person, I know I'm grooving on a really high-flying, vastly sped up vibration of joy, love, peace, acceptance. I'm in the groove and I'm in the zone and it feels great. And on the other end, there are days, well, actually, now they're not days because I'm so well practiced. There can be hours where somehow I'm getting phone calls. I can't get through on the line. My internet is being interrupted. I'm trying to call someone. My signal goes out. And then I get in my car and I realize that, oh my gosh, I forgot something. I have to run back inside. And it just seems to go downhill, 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 downhill. And I'm slipping and sliding and there's resistance everywhere. And that I find is key, that I've got resistance in my vibration and that somehow I start to look outside of me and try to verify and quantify why I'm feeling so cruddy and why these things are happening to poor me. And it's all about them. If only the guy in front of me would accelerate and use his blinker, and then this would have been much better and that might not have happened. In those moments, I can stop and say, wait a minute. What am I vibrating with? What am I in tune with? I must be in tune with frustration. I must be in tune with impatience or resentment or blame or fear. And in that moment, in that awareness, when I can check into what I'm feeling, I have the ability right there to choose something else. And I get to realize that that outside of me has nothing to do with how I feel. And from that place, those traffic jams, they feel really good because they allow me an opportunity to sit and hang out with myself or to listen to some music on the radio. And what I find most often, rather than not, what happens is that suddenly a lane opens up just in front of me as if the sea was parted just for me. And you know what? I know it was. And that is the joy of being the creator of our worlds. When, as you said, we have the ability to respond.
Yes, it's very amusing to me when I find myself responding to my outer world in a way that doesn't feel good to me. I very often have a very clear perception of it, and sometimes I'm able to shift it right then and there, sometimes I'm not. However, the most interesting part of all of this is when I do notice that I just had a very big shift in the meaning that I gave this situation, I can ease up on the feeling of it and just kick back and relax a little bit. And then synchronistically, just at that moment, it's exactly the point where that lane opens up. When I notice that I actually created a shift within myself, and all of a sudden, voila, the outside responds. And it's not even that that happens all the time so vividly that I can recognize that ultimately. However, I always feel when I have shifted my inner world. And about that, there is one important aspect, which is that life inherently is meaningless, that the situations themselves.
Yes. How can you say such a thing? Wait a minute now. I have callers lighting up the switchboard right here, right now. What do you mean life is inherently meaningless? How can you say such a thing when we're all on this planet searching for that very thing, the meaning?
I hear you. And how funny is that?
Very funny.
How funny is it that many different people can go through the same situation and end up feeling completely different about it? And that might just be because some are optimists and some are pessimists, but whether the glass is half full or half empty is really how you trained yourself to think about a lot of things. So let me give you an example. If there is an individual that, let's call her Sally. Let's say Sally, for example, happened to touch a hot stove. She didn't know that it was on. And all of a sudden she says, oh, damn, that was stupid of me. She could say that or even say something like, oh, man, I am stupid. Well, I am stupid already automatically degrades myself to an extent where she does probably doesn't feel as good about it as, for example, oh, that was stupid of me. But what would feel much better is, ooh, now I know it's hot. Good that I don't have to make that mistake again. That lets her feel very differently. And that is really a difference in meaning that she gave that particular circumstance. So it's not necessarily that the circumstance itself carried any particular meaning. Well, something happened. Yes, she happened to make contact with that stove and feel the temperature of it, was able to pull back immediately, and then choose out of her own right what meaning she gave that particular situation. Now, depending on what meaning she gives that situation, that determines how she feels about it. And when she feels, for example, or gives it meaning that, oh my, I just learned something, now I'll be able to behave even better in the future, it'll make her feel better than if she degrades herself through thinking, well, I'm stupid. Which isn't necessarily true in itself unless you create that meaning to be the truth for you in that moment. And the beautiful thing is when we start changing and playing with our thoughts, we can find that more than one thing can be true for us in any given moment. And depending on what we choose to focus on, we will actually experience a situation in a different way. And this is often also how healing of the past can occur, when we actually go back to a moment, examine it, and choose to give it a different meaning. All of a sudden, the way we feel about that moment will also change.
Well, that's fascinating. And, you know, I love that you use the word truth. Oh, I guess my cat's in the room. Isn't that fabulous? I use the word truth because what I've heard so many people, and it actually used to be a little personal pet peeve of mine, Benjamin. Was one friend in particular who was a colleague and a friend, and would always say, "This is the truth." And, you know, they had this very certain way of expressing it that felt very, from the intonation, very platformed and very, you know, I am truth. This is the truth. And it used to get under my skin. And I recognized, I kept playing with that and playing with it. And it took me quite some time to sort this out for myself, to recognize that there is no truth. From my perspective, the only truth there is, if there were a truth, is the one, the current truth that one believes. It's only true if it's true for you. And so I feel a lot of us get into massive arguments and we start wars within our minds, which eventually turn into action-oriented wars, as we can see what's going on in parts of the planet now. I think over half of it's at war. And it really is only one war, because one in the mind of one person says, I have the truth. The other person says, no, I have the truth. And then we spend our time and our energy and our life force trying to beat our truth into the other person, when the fact of the matter is, what's true today may not necessarily be true tomorrow, depending on what I'm currently believing. And if I believe today, because I've touched that stove, because my name is Sally, and I said to myself, I'm stupid, and I begin to believe that, okay, that'll be true. And no matter how many people tell me, gee, Sally, you're really not, I'm not going to believe that. But their truth is that I'm not, and my current truth could be that I am. Until one day, perhaps I have an awareness, I do some work, or I shift through it, and I recognize, wait a minute, that's just a meaning I gave that circumstance, that event, and that experience, and I'd like to change that now, because being the powerful creator, I can redirect my thoughts consciously and deliberately. And I now realize, oh, what I am is a really great learner, because I've now learned that, you know, hey, sometimes it might be a good idea to check the stove before leaning on it. Excellent. I've just learned something new, and I've learned that hot stoves can cause some discomfort to my skin tissue. So suddenly, I'm quite brilliant. Same situation, different thought process, different outcome, different truth, different meaning. Isn't that fascinating? Is anything true?
Well, it's quite interesting, because really what's truth really depends more on what perspective of ourselves we give weight. And very often, this is
What do you mean?
actually
What do you
th
mean? What
this.
perspective of ourselves? I'm curious.
What I mean is, let me see whether I can find a good example for this.
I know you can. You're so good at that.
Well,
Good.
I could either say that, for example, let's go back to Sally, for example, that touched the stove. And by the way, if there is a Sally listening to us right now, it doesn't matter whether it was Sally or Bob or Benjamin or Jasmine that touched the stove. We're
Oh, I've
just
touched the
using
stove. I've
the
done it. I've touched
I
the
have before too, and it happens. And how wonderful that we have such great skin that heals itself without having to do anything about it. What a marvelous wonder. Now, the thing is, that is, for example, one perspective that I can give weight in my inner world, and I can choose to focus there rather than on the point that I'm considering myself to not necessarily be very smart right now. And it is really where I keep repeating a thought and inundating myself with it to such an extent that it becomes something of weight within my own personal inner reality. And when I continue to give something that type of weight, it creates a stronger emotion. It creates more momentum in this whole frequency or vibrational perspective. And when I've done it enough, it almost becomes its own automatic way of thinking. So when I learn to appreciate, for example, how wonderful it is that my skin can heal itself, and that I'm really appreciative of that, as well as all the other beautiful things that I can learn, maybe even just that red little light that usually indicates whether the stove is hot or not has actually burnt out and that I need to replace it. I've just gotten a little smarter, and maybe when the technician comes in to fix that, I can even learn how to fix that myself. All of this might have actually been an incredibly enriching experience if I'm willing to look at it that way. The question is, though, where am I putting the weight of my own perspective? Where am I willing, or what thoughts am I willing to repeat? And how much effort am I willing to find? How much effort am I willing to put into finding thoughts that actually feel good to me, such that I can raise my own vibration? And this is really a choice, not necessarily something that's predetermined, because a lot of people believe that meaning in the world is just determined from the outside in, when really it is a process that happens from the inside out, at least if we choose to do it consciously. There is an extent to where, if we don't choose to start using this type of information and create the meaning that we want to give events, then a lot of other people will do it for us. We're, as humans and with minds, we're meaning-producing machines. We do it all the time. And if someone else gives us the meaning, then we will just adopt that if we haven't learned to create the meaning of our lives for ourselves. And we can do that. And that's actually a beautiful thing, because at that point, it's not like there is this destiny that's completely predetermined for us, but rather we actually become the stewards of our own lives. And thus we can actually choose the direction, and a direction that feels good to our own personal hearts. And from that place, we're able to move forward in such a lighter way that it becomes a real joyful living experience, rather than something that is just constantly determining the way things are happening for us out of, its own right. It's almost like the world is dominating us versus us creating our inner reality the way we want to, and then acting from that place. Those are two very different ways of living.
I get that. Having done both, and I can, I can attest with all of my heart and all of my being to the entire planet, to the multiverse, that deliberately creating, choosing to respond and to own what's going on, what the thoughts are, and to discard that which doesn't serve, and really deliberately, consciously step forward, step in, step up, and reawaken and re-arise and deliberately move forward and create one's life is far more interesting. It feels far better. There's much more energy and much more enthusiasm and much more life force in it and joy. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all creating anyway. Are we doing it by default, or are we doing it consciously and deliberately? And when we realize, we get that first juicy, delicious, lush awareness that we put our foot on the gas pedal and we steered that car and we got to a destination that we chose to get to, and that we did it, and the outside world responded, and everything showed up for us even better than we thought it was going to. That right there, that for me, that's when I was hooked. When I realized that I could do that, that I practiced my tools and I created stuff in my life, and I let go of how it was going to show up, and it just showed up, and it was pretty marvelous. Now, the one thing that I would say to people who are beginning on this path, and those who are well arised and moving forward, and to the facilitators and to guides, because we're all facilitators, we're all guides, and we are all connected, is that the one thing, the first thing, and the thing to always remember, because we always need friendly reminders, and I love receiving those and giving them as well, is to pay attention to how you feel. Because that is your compass. That is your GPS. It's impossible to think of all the thoughts that you think, even though you're thinking them anyway. I mean, isn't that a nice paradox? But to nail them down, I find, Ben, I don't know how you feel about that, but certainly my experience is, I mean, this mind has been akin to having six monkeys on crack in it, all going in different directions with different desires and crashing up against each other. And it was exhausting to try and keep track. Was I thinking, oh my God, was that thought? It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like trying to narrow down, thinking about when my heart's going to beat and when my next breath is coming and how's the blood going to move through the arteries and the capillaries. And it's ridiculous and it's impossible and it feels frustrating. But yes, we can all, right? I have found that I can focus on my, I can feel how I feel with a little bit of practice. Now, some people aren't in tune with their emotions, but we all have them and we can be.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The issue is more that a lot of people, and I used to think this way as well, is that I used to think that essentially the way I feel is determined by my outer circumstances. And learning to play with my beliefs and the way I think about the world, and just letting things a little bit more, let them be a little more fluid and malleable, then all of a sudden, things started to become a lot easier to me. Well, the thing too, though, is you're absolutely right, especially right in the beginning, it becomes difficult to pay attention to thoughts all the time. So it was much, much easier to recognize whether I'm feeling good or not so much. Even when I'm at a neutral point, well, that's fine, because there I'm just feeling rather neutral. It's not necessarily hurting me in any way. But when I started to feel rather negative and down, that's when the pain really started to come in, however subtle it might be. And that doesn't have to be something that is determined from the outside. For example, if it's particularly about material things, or I believe it's about the way my outer circumstance is presenting itself, then it becomes too important to start paying attention to the thoughts. And it's not even that I have to do anything about them right away. It's really just important to start noticing, what am I thinking, or how am I thinking about this situation? such that I start developing an awareness around it without even having to do too much. Actually, I've also had it where I felt like I had to do something about it and then was trying really, 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 really hard and wasn't getting anywhere and just getting more and more frustrated. And then just easing up on the whole topic and letting things be the way they are already made me feel a little better. And that's really the whole point of it all, to just feel a little bit better right here, right now. It's more about the direction in which I choose to go rather than having to be all wonderful and all super ecstatic all the time, all day long. That's not quite it, because we do find ourselves on different places of the emotional scale depending on what's happening, depending on how we're thinking about what's happening, and learning to just play with our thoughts and actually see it almost more like a game and not as serious as sometimes we think it has to be, that already allows us a much easier perspective and a lot more patience with ourselves and the outer world to actually integrate and move in the direction that allows us to create a more tender or a higher frequency and vibration within ourselves. And the beautiful thing is, I have noticed how often the outer world responds. And very often we call those synchronicities or coincidences. It's when that change of state that we have on the inside or a thought or something and the outer world's response to it coincide in such a clear way that it is immediately recognizable. And that's really what those synchronicities or coincidences, where the inner world and outer world really coincide, and it's almost like a snap where we really clearly notice something happened there. And at first, I didn't quite know how to interpret it until I had seen it so many times in my own personal reality that I started to really make the connection there. And when we start taking responsibility and gaining an ability to respond, that's where we become really powerful in our own worlds. That's when anyone can come and call us anything, and we can start to play with anything that presents to us and just have an easy time with it rather than having to struggle.
Well spoken. I agree. Now, if you were to offer to somebody, Benjamin, somebody comes along and says, you know, I just want to feel better. I just want to feel better. I feel okay, but I know that there's something more. And can you give me a tip? Can you just share with me something? You know, I read on your radio show that you have this alchemical tool bag, and that's why I'm listening to you, because I could use a little alchemy in my world. So mm-hmm. Can you give me a tip? Just give me one little tool that I can go away and apply for this week until okay. I tune in next week.
So let's speak a little bit about feeling bad and wanting to feel better, because those are two somewhat different sides of the same coin. Now, feeling bad, for example, is usually something that you have to do in one way or another. Feeling bad is not something that happens automatically, and feeling bad is not necessarily a state that you just reach once and then you're there. Feeling bad is actually something that needs to be created. So if there is something that currently makes you feel bad and you want to feel better, just stop what you're doing. You can just stop what you're doing and that'll allow you to start feeling a bit better. Even if it's just to relax, sit somewhere, or just watch some TV, or lay down and doodle around. It doesn't really matter. The other idea around feeling better, for example, particularly, is follow your excitement. Explore with your imagination what might feel good or exciting to you right here, right now. And if that's, for example, going to get a massage or whether that is taking a nap or eating something, go for it. Your inner guidance will let you know what that thing is that will make you feel better right here, right now. Now, one thing to maybe look into, and this could be a whole topic for another show, is those cyclical cycles that we believe something will make us feel better, and then we end up beating ourselves up for having done that. That is not necessarily what I'm talking about here, but keep exploring with your imagination into different ideas of actions you could take that would make you feel good without the guilt, without shame or anything that would pull you down again. So when you find that, then just go for it. Go for it without another question or behind it, without questioning yourself. And if neither of those are necessarily the way you want to go, then just kick back and pay a little attention to your inner world. Pay a little attention to your outer world. And just become aware of what's happening right here, right now. And when you do that, it can only lead you to also gaining a further insight into yourself or into how your reality works. It will give you another piece of information toward the feeling good within your life.
Well, thank you. I feel better already. I feel better already. Isn't that nice? Thank you.
My pleasure. And there are so many tools and so many different ways of going about all of this. But I think this first show already can give our listeners an idea of what we're about. And really, the world of feeling good is just an endless journey that we love to continuously explore. And thus, Jasmine and I are here on this show now to offer to you all the different ways and all the different ideas that we have developed and applied in our own lives. Because we're not just about theory, we're actually about application. And oftentimes, it's not necessarily that these ideas might solidify for you the first time around, but in time they will. Just keep at it and they will start to develop and you will start to get better at it. And it's like painting or riding a bike. The more that you do it, the better you will get and the easier it will be. At first there might be maybe a little bit of resistance, at least there was for me when I started really paying attention to the way I was living my life from the inside out, because I was so used to all these different ideas and worldviews that I had adopted that just weren't necessarily suiting me. Until I started looking for what works. I was really practical with it all. I wanted to understand why it works and how it works. And really, with that application of it over and over, we, both Jasmine and I, are here to assist you in finding those tools for you in your own life as well. I mean, in the end, it'll be you who has complete choice over what is fun, what works for you, and how you want to apply these different things, and whether you even want to apply them. That's the beauty of it. After all, you are the master and the creator of your own life experience, and thus you have full choice. And how beautiful is that? And we're actually here to allow you to find even more empowerment and more freedom, only to add to what you already have and not to take anything away.
I love that. And you know what? As this is our first radio show, I gotta tell you, I'm really getting that finally this last piece that you spoke and where we were at could actually be the beginning of our show. You know, I really get this is a new endeavor for us and certainly for me, and I'm having a blast with it and I'm learning so much. And right here, right now, I'm making a choice. And my choice is I can beat myself up for going, oh God, I could have somehow, you know, restructured it or maybe done this better or that. Or I can go, this is a really rich learning experience and I'm really enjoying it. And the better it gets, the better it gets. And it's getting better and better every day in every way. And
it's lovely. It's lovely. And it's 5:55:55. I love how magical of a number it is for our show. It's just lovely.
I love that. And it's 8. Okay, so we're over. I'm not even sure if we're still on the air.
Yes, we are. And it will continue, I believe, until 6 o'clock even. What a lovely time to just speak with you live on air and to actually start developing an audience. And I hope that the people that were listening were actually gaining some momentum or maybe had some value to discover, even if it was one little golden nugget or a little confirmation that allowed them to just find either that they're on the right track or a little way of or a new idea or a new inspiration, just a little kernel or maybe even multiple that allow them to live a life or different moments that are just getting better and better and better.
I agree. And it really is all about those little golden nuggets, the little pearls that come. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they're just little freshwater pearls or little slivers of diamonds. And other times there's just a mindful that comes. And that's what we're really about, is application. And I'd like to begin our next show that way. I'd like to begin that with that intro, that it really is about sharing tools and perspectives that people can play with in their own way. Because it really is an inside-out job. And the best part of it is that we are all masters. Just require little nudges and little rememberings. And there's no wrong way. It's all so perfect. And if something doesn't resonate immediately, put it on a shelf and take a look at it later. Because it may later. I have found many things that's in this moment may not exactly fit. But down the road, it's like, yeah, that's perfect right here, right now. It fits right in. And I wish to all of humanity that somehow our words or anything we've shared or an energy or a frequency or a feeling that's a given rise within you just begins to bloom and it awakens and it expands. And somehow that flower of you awakens and raises its head to the sun and the light that you are. And you just go out in your world and enjoy yourself and have fun and let go of the rules, roles, and regulations and anything that you've been taught, told, or sold or bought into from innocence, of course, and reclaim yourself and your freedom and your joy and have fun and pause and enjoy the fun and appreciate what's here right now and allow everything to be exactly as it is. Let go of the resistance. And you know what? Forget letting go, because that can be such a job even. Just stop hanging on, man. Hmm. And really just, right? Just really be with what's here. And it, yeah.
And I want to give a big, big thank you for everyone that was listening to today's show, because it was just lovely that you added your attention to this wonderful time that we got to share with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to our super cool sound engineering, wonderful guy, Mr. Doug Newsome. We love you. Thank you. What a great opportunity.
Thank you so much. That is just lovely working with you.
I don't know if you can hear us. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Jasmine and Benjamin. Well, thank you. You know what I'd like to do, Ben? I'd like to really get some intro and outro and some sound effects and things like that on this radio show and spice it up with a little more comedy, because you know how I like to laugh and be a little saucy and silly.